Chapter number 13, verse number 13. What a wonderful time we had Sunday. We ended up baptizing 8, and we had 6 get the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Lord, really blessed. Really blessed on Sunday. If you haven't made the last few Wednesday nights, I encourage you to go to the podcast so that you can kind of catch up. Actually, we rehearsed enough on Sunday. You probably just listen to Sunday. Pretty much get Wednesday and Sunday combined. We want to attempt to finish part one of 3 major parts that we're going to be dealing with over the next few weeks. Lord will help us. We want to continue on faith just for a little while longer here tonight and try to wrap it up. Of course, we all know we are just scratching the surface of what could be taught on this inexhaustible message and subject, the subject of faith. Dealing, of course, not so much as in the faith of the laying on the hands and the seeing the blind, eyes open, although all of that runs together. I certainly understand that. But we're dealing more with the faith that just keeps us getting back up. That faith that brought you here today with everything that's wrong in your life. You still walk through those doors because you know Jesus Christ is more than able. Amen. We know that he loves us. He's for us. And Pastor Sapp has already touched on it a little bit here tonight. And majority of the time, what we go through, well, all the time, it's in God's hands. And the majority of the time, it was even orchestrated by God himself. And remember, the Lord never puts wood in fire. He only puts gold. And you say, why am I going through it? Because you're solid gold. And he's just trying to purify you just a little better. Just trying to get a few more impurities out. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. And now abideth. Everybody say, and now abideth. Amen. We've learned about that for the last couple of services. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we'll touch on that last. We are speaking about faith tonight. So everybody say, and now abideth my faith. Amen. According to the word of the Lord, your faith can move mountains. Let's pray and ask the Lord to touch us. Father, we thank you for your goodness that's in our life and the blessings of the Lord that we have already felt here tonight. We've come to learn from the word of God. We've come to learn, Jesus. We've come to receive from your anointing, your precious blessings upon us. Lord, I pray that you strengthen us here today. Let our faith be strengthened. We ask it in the powerful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them your faith brought you here tonight. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. And so for the records, I guess it's and now abideth part 3. So we looked into the word of the Lord. We went back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We went up to verse 1. And we read through the chapter to try to get a better understanding of where Paul the Apostle was coming from when he concluded in that chapter, "And now abideth faith." And what we realized is that Paul, he spoke about the power of charity and love and different things. But as he came to a conclusion in that chapter, what he was focusing on was that there is going to come a day in my life, in yours, and according to how the world is going, hopefully that day is not too far apart. But there's going to come a day, if you and I are still alive, that a trumpet is going to sound, and the word of the Lord says, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. In twinkling of an eye, gonna be gone. That's all I know. Man, it's a great song. I don't have time to say goodbye. Amen. Heaven's real. Heaven is real. Woo! And the day's gonna come that we're gonna be taken out of this world. And if we die before the rapture, that's okay. The word of the Lord says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall meet them in the air to be with Christ forever. It's going to be an incredible time. It's going to be an incredible place, and it's going to be eternity. It's going to be forever. But Paul went on to say that, you know, even though that's going to be awesome, and when we get there, we're gonna be known as we are known. We're going to understand things, and we're going to see things clearly. But in that same chapter, he talked to you and I. He said, however, but now, right now, where we are, we know in part. We understand in part. We see through a glass darkly. And that we now live here on earth in the flesh, and things happen to us that we don't really comprehend or understand. I get emails all the time. I got one today, long email, a precious sister in the Lord, and just talking about, you know, the different things that are going on and has happened recently in our life. We live in the here and in the now. And we experience difficult times and situations in our life. Some of them come and go quickly. Some abide with us for years. And some will never ever leave us. We will bear the burden to the day we lay down in the grave. But now abideth faith. And so we preached about that it's our faith that causes us to get up and arise. We deal with the works of the flesh, and we talked about that on Sunday, and how that we must battle the works of the flesh on a daily basis, and that there are things in my flesh and things in your flesh. Paul the Apostle talked about, he said, I have a battle going on the inside of me. When I want to do good, I do bad. How many of you told yourself, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And about 9 seconds later, your mouth's open. And away it goes. Why? Because we live in the here and now. We deal with the works of the flesh. Paul the Apostle said, I do things I wish I wouldn't. Then he said, the things I know I need to do, those things I don't do. Every day, he says, I battle with this. That's why he told us, every day I get up, I crucify the flesh. because I understand its power. I understand its influence upon the spiritual man. So I crucify it every day that I arise, because I want to walk with him as close as I possibly can. But now abideth faith. Our faith gives us power over the works of the flesh. It gives us power to get up when everything's going wrong and everything is falling apart and nothing's going right and everyone's turned against us and our life is unraveling. Our faith gives us the power and the strength to get back up. It's our faith that brought us to the house of God here tonight. We talked about that's why Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I pray that your faith fail thee not. He didn't move the mountain out of his life. He just said, Peter, while you climb the mountain and while you walk through the valley, my prayer is your faith fails not. Because if your faith will hold strong, you'll make it over the mountain. If your faith holds strong, you'll come through the valley. Your faith will cause you to arise. We looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and all the great things that faith will accomplish in our life. Go and read it for your homework. We talked about how that faith, it's faith that keeps us coming back on a continual basis. So I want to launch here tonight, and I've just got one little bitty tiny thing I want to add to what we've talked about concerning now abideth faith. It's my prayer that before I finish here this evening, in conjunction with everything else that we've already said under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it is my prayer that somehow we will walk out of here with the understanding, as long as I keep the faith, I cannot fail. As long as I keep the faith, I will see him. As long as I stay in the faith, no matter what happens in my life, I will get through it. This too shall come to pass. I believe that that's what God wants us to get a hold of, that we do abide in the now, and that now being the flesh, that now being all the things that we have to face and go through here today, and we'll talk about a little bit of that later on here this evening, but in that process, we have what we need to get through it. Just don't lose the faith. Keep the faith. If you find yourself complaining, keep the faith. It'll bring you out of it. If you find yourself down and out, keep the faith. It'll lift you up, put you back on your feet. If you find yourself sick in body, keep the faith. The faith's got a way of healing you. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Somebody shout, keep the faith. So we have to keep that. Now, one of the most commonly used verses, and you'll hear it, you'll hear people quote the latter part of the verse all the time. How many of y'all have quoted 100 times, the just shall live by faith? How many of y'all quoted that? Let me see your hand. Well, if you haven't, you need to learn it. The just, say it with me, the just shall live by faith. Say, the just shall live by faith. We touched on that just a little bit on Sunday, but I didn't deal with it in the area that I really want to do it. You can take that verse and link it back where the word of the Lord says, a just man falleth seven times, but he arises again. Why? Because the just live by faith. Just, what is that? Justification. I'm here to tell me and you tonight that if you'll hold on to the faith, you will be justified. No matter what comes against you, no matter what your job does to you, no matter how your neighborhood treats you, no matter how your family treats you, no matter what anybody thinks about you, if you hold on to the faith, you will be justified, because the just live by faith. God will lift you up. He will justify you. Not that we look for justification, and that justification may be when you open your eyes in front of the throne. And I got news for you. You make it to heaven, you're not going to be concerned about anything that happened to you on earth. You're not going to stand before Jesus and say, whoa, whoa, before we go any further, Lord, did you get so-and-so back? Do you remember what they did to me on April the 19th, 2014? Do you remember that? You remember? Yeah, I got it recorded. Did you take care of that? Because I just want to know before I go to my mansion. I doubt that very seriously. When you open your eyes and you're not breathing the terrestrial, but instead your first breath is of the celestial, and the light that you see is not the sun, but the glow of the glorious power of your God. I want to tell you, everything that took place right here, it's going to be gone. Talk about justification. Standing in the presence of the Almighty God. So Romans 1 and 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And how is the righteousness of God revealed in you? It is from faith to faith. As it is written. That means Paul the Apostle, writing to the church of Rome, is quoting an Old Testament writer. And we're going to look at that in a moment. And he says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You want to know how the true righteousness of God shines through you? That no matter what happens in your life, no matter what you have to face, no matter what we go through or how long it lasts, we just keep going from faith to faith. We just go from faith to faith. We don't fall out. We don't give in. We don't give up. We don't quit. We just go from faith to faith, from faith to faith, from faith to faith. And everybody, the devil gets crazy about it. Everybody that knows what's going on in your life, they can't figure out why you didn't throw in the towel. They can't figure out why you didn't quit. You just went from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith, and it drives them crazy. And the righteousness of God is revealed. The just shall live by faith. Now, this verse, or the portion of verse, the just shall live by faith, is also repeated Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, by Paul the Apostle. And it is repeated again in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. So I think it would do us good to go back into the Old Testament and find out where that came from and what produced those words, the just shall live by faith. Tell your neighbor, you live by your faith. The just shall live by faith. So we ask the question, what is the foundation of this verse? Where did it come from? Who is Paul the Apostle quoting? So we make our way back to this little insignificant book called Habakkuk. Who's read Habakkuk lately? No way? I know a lot of you read it last year because you read through the Bible. How many of y'all doing pretty good about reading through the Bible again this year? Doing good? Awesome. So we make our way back to this little old book called Habakkuk that hardly anybody ever talks about, reads about, preaches from. Except for the fact, what they don't realize is that every time they preach on the just shall live by faith, they're actually preaching out of Habakkuk. Because that's where it came from. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, the word of the Lord says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, in order to understand where Habakkuk is coming from and why he said that, we have to go back to Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord, it starts out here with Habakkuk complaining. Has anybody ever complained? How about one day after you got your promise from God? Because you were expecting it that night. You know, the answer. It's amazing how quick we complain. You know, you go into the word of the Lord, and God just brings 10 plagues upon Egypt. He walks Israel across dry ground right through the Red Sea. I mean, they reached in and petted dolphins on the way by. This big wall of water. It was an amazing thing. Anywhere from 1 million to 3 million Jews make their way across on dry ground. They get on the other side. They are not 3 days. 3 days. I know, Lord, it upset me too. 3 days. 3 days from all of these divine miracles and walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, God holding up the walls of water, seeing all of Pharaoh's army being drowned in the same water. And 3 days later, the word of the Lord says they're complaining. Welcome to the Pentecostals of the Palm Beach. Welcome to everybody that walks and lives for God. So here's Habakkuk. He's the chosen prophet of the Lord at the time. And he's complaining. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Just tell me if you find yourself in these verses. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, and for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that rise up strife and contention? Seems like he's describing 2015 to me. And then look at verse number 4. He said, it's such a mess down here that the law is slack, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteousness. God, we are surrounded by wickedness. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. They're calling right wrong. They're calling wrong right. They're calling good evil. They're calling evil good. We're surrounded by God. Don't you see what's going on around here? Now that's what he's saying. And then he steps out of this world of horribleness, of wickedness and sin and unfairness. Everybody say unfair. Come on now, you know I'm talking right, do you? That wasn't fair. They didn't treat me right. I wasn't the one that was wrong. They were wrong, but now they're all shiny and pretty, and I'm all dull and ugly. And I don't understand, God. What are you doing up there? I'm your child. Revenge me and kill them. He steps right out of this, describing this world of wickedness, and the very next verse, God begins to speak through him. He goes from saying his own words, and when Habakkuk's talking, he's talking about sin and how that judgment's not being executed, and everybody's getting away with everything, and it's just horrible down here, and my God, look who they put over there, and look who they did there, and he's just complaining. The Holy Ghost falls upon him because he's the oracle of God. And in verse 5, God begins to speak. He says, behold, ye are among the heathen. Wake up, Habakkuk. It's an ugly world. I love the way he starts out. I love the way he answers Habakkuk. It's like God saying, what did you expect? You expect them to treat you right?
You expect them to get praise to my name. You expect them to uphold my law and honor me and who I am. This is a heathen world, Habakkuk. Of course they're going to kill babies. Of course they're going to throw them in the fire. Of course they're going to live in moral lifestyles. Of course they're going to cuss my name. Of course they're going to hate you and persecute you. Wake up, Habakkuk. You are living in a heathen world. And it's like the world, the Lord wants to maybe step into our lives here tonight just for a second. And say to you, get a grip. It's an ugly world. Sin has entered in. Things are not going to go your way because you call Jesus Lord. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I remember him saying something like this. They hated me, and they're going to hate you. And they're going to persecute you for my name's sake, he said. And the more you live for me, the more they're going to hate you. And the more you abide by my law and my ways and my word, the more they're going to persecute you. And the more they're going to come against you. And we are now living in a world and a generation, and I know you've seen it. I got a text today from someone, and it showed an advertisement of a bank, and it was talking about two people opening up an account, and it was two ladies holding hands. This is the generation that we're living in. They're going to start portraying homosexuality as though it's normal. And me and you who's trying to have babies, we're the weird ones. It's the truth. And because you and I want to raise our children morally and in a right way, we're going to be the oddballs because they're going to tell you, no, every child should have the right to investigate whatever it is they want to investigate. You can't control their nature. You got to let them go. You got to let them do whatever it is that they want to do. You're being abusive and ugly and mean if you try to control them in any form or fashion. These are the things that are going to be coming to us. And because we're trying to raise our children godly, we're going to be the odd ones. And what's going to be accepted is that young child, young girls and young boys are going to be encouraged to participate in homosexuality, participate in drugs, participate in immorality of all kinds. And it's all going to be encouraged. Why? Because the devil is feasting upon fallen humanity. And God is saying, wake up, Habakkuk. It's a heathen world. I love the way that he continues. It's like God saying to Habakkuk, would you stop complaining? The sin in the world don't bother me. The power of the devil can't stop me. The ways of evil can't hinder me. I love what he says here. He says, Habakkuk, it's a heathen world. And regard and wonder marvelously where I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even though it was told you. God said, in the middle of evil, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of immorality, in the middle of sin, I'm going to do my greatest work. I'm going to have my greatest revival. I'm going to see the greatest results. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. The just live by faith. What does that mean? That means he's telling Habakkuk. He's saying, Habakkuk, quit paying attention to everything that's around you. Quit giving your attention and your concentration upon the sin of the world. Habakkuk, can't you see me in your midst? Can't you feel me upon your hands? Can't you feel me in your heart? I'm in your midst. I'm here right now. I'll do a great work. Quit living by what you're seeing and start living by faith that I serve a great God. I serve a God that can do anything. Nothing can stop him. Nothing will hold him back. The church is going forward. The church is rising up. The church is stronger than it's ever been. Mightier than it's ever been. Revival greater. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Lord, just in the last 4 weeks, we've had 75 people get the Holy Ghost. I'd say that's revival. I'm going to tell you, if you'll stop living by sight and start living by faith, you can go into a neighborhood, Sister Kelly, and you can bring 33 people to church on a Sunday and see half of them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, the church is not going down. The church is about to be greater than it's ever been. How do you know that, Pastor? Because we're living in a darker hour than we've ever lived. And where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth more abound. He said, Habakkuk, you live in a dark time, but I've come to do a great work. You live amongst heathen, but I've come to save them. I've come to reach them. I've come to bless them. Somebody shout it. The just shall live by faith. Put your hands together and give God praise. You know, one of the specialties of the devil is to get us completely focused on our situations. Completely focused on what's going on in the political world. He even gets the church all wrapped up in it. And they'll spend hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars trying to push some legislation through a heathen administration. And that's every administration for the last 200 years, in case you're wondering. What if they'd have spent the same money, time, and effort and just simply reaching the lost? What a difference we could have made in a world. Jesus, the Lord said, Habakkuk, what do you expect? Verses 1 through 4, all of his complaining. What do you expect? You live in a heathen world, son. Heathens surround you, full of sin and darkness and ugliness and hatred. He said, but I've come to tell you, that stuff don't stop me. It doesn't bother me. I do my best. The darker it is, the better I work, because the brighter my light shines. Woo, my Lord, have mercy. Listen, this world's going to get so dark, and it already is, that even the little bitty newborn lights are going to shine so bright that people are going to start flocking to our new converts and saying, what's going on? What do you have? Why are you so different? What changed you? Some of these young men and women that have prayed through in the last few weeks, they're going to be going back to school. Their friends are going to be there. Their peers are going to be there. Yeah, they're going to, and you say, oh, my. Oh, they're going to be turned away. They're going to be overcome. They're going to go back to their evil ways. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it for even one minute. I believe they're going to shine like a bright light, and they're going to walk upon their school ground, and their old pot buddies are going to say, hey, let's go do some drugs. And they're going to say, oh, I got a better high now. I got a better God now. And they're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to see greater revival than we've ever seen. Why? We live in a heathen world, but we serve a mighty God. He said, behold, Habakkuk, you're among the heathen, man. What do you expect? But I will do a great work amongst you. You see, we're the church of the last day. Tell your neighbor, we're the church of the last day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. He says in Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But here it is in verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the... You see, if the church will keep the faith, we don't have to worry about the devil. If we'll keep the faith, if you'll keep the faith, you don't have to worry about your lost spouse. You'll keep the faith, you don't have to worry about your lost family. You'll keep the faith, you don't have to worry about the demons that work at your job. You'll keep the faith, you don't have to worry about the devils that live in your neighborhood. If you'll keep the faith, my God, have mercy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, wickedness in high places of darkness. Oh, yes, we do. But be vigilant. Your devil's out to get you. Your devil's out to seek you. Your devil's out to devour you. But whom resist steadfast in the faith. Watch me now. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things that could ever happen to your faith is when you come to the revelation that you are not immune from horrible things. We live in a religious world that is destroying Christians by telling them you are immune to the touch of the devil. You are immune when the economy crashes. It won't touch you. Oh, yes, it will. That's what he meant when he said the rain pours on the just and the... It, boy, everybody gets wet, baby, when it rains. Now, I understand and I preach it and you know it. God will help every one of us through it. We understand that, right? But for you to walk around like you are oblivious, like you are untouchable, and that you can walk through all of this and... No, you have to understand something. God is going to allow you to go through it. You know why? Because the other 59 in the same valley needs to see somebody who has God walking through that valley. Who will walk by faith, who will fear no evil. Woo! Hallelujah. Though the shadow of death be cast upon you, you've got the rod of God. You've got the word of God. You've got the staff of God. You've got the faith of God. The just shall live by faith. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to get through it. That's how we're going to overcome. I know it hurts. I know we go through hard times. I know we face tough situations. I know some of our lives are in pieces. But I'm here to tell you, your faith will get you through. Don't let the devil get your faith. Whom resist in the faith. How do you do that? You do it with the knowledge that just because I'm going through something doesn't mean I sinned, or God hates me, or there's something wrong with me, because that's what the devil will try to convince you of. You have this disease in your body because you are cursed of God. You have this situation in your life because he'll remind you of something you did, you know, 9 weeks ago that you've already repented over 10 times, and God forgave you the first time you repented. You just couldn't forgive yourself, and so you walked in it all this time, and then the devil chose a moment to come against you and remind you of something that's already on the blood. God didn't bring it up, you brought it up. And you're allowed to come back into your life. You're allowed to control you. Condemnation comes into your heart, comes into your mind. Now you're all down and you're out. What is he trying to do? He's trying to steal your faith. Because he knows if you'll walk in faith, you can resist him. If you walk in faith, you can rebuke him. If you walk in faith, you can cast him out. If you walk in faith, you can cast him off. If you walk in faith, you can make it through this situation that you're in. And you'll come out the other side stronger and better and closer and mightier. A child of God in the kingdom of God, reaching the lost. I resist him in the faith with the understanding that just because I'm going through something doesn't mean God is not with me anymore. That the same afflictions that afflict the children of the world are in you and in your brethren. That should help us not to judge, Sister Legis. Because, boy, we're quick, aren't we? We see somebody going through it. I knew it. All the time. They lived on the mountaintop too long. I knew there's something wrong with them up there. Nobody's that happy all the time. Yeah. And then they go rolling down on the other side, bruised and cut and torn up, life destroyed, things, and we're over there judging, and God's trying to figure out a way to pick them up and say, I know it's tough, I know it's rough, but I got you in my hand, it's going to be okay. And I let you roll down this side of the hill because there's some people down there and you're the only one that can reach them and you can't reach them up here. I had to bring you down there. But if you'll keep the faith, there's going to be 9 people get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name and they're going to see me for eternity in heaven. And this little trip down the hill is going to seem like nothing when you compare to how I'm going to use you and how I'm going to bless you and how I'm going to help you if you'll keep the faith. Habakkuk, quit looking at everything around you. Quit looking at evil. Start looking at good. Quit looking at everything going wrong. I'm about to do a great work in your midst. Look at what's going right.
I think sometimes we forget the blessings of the Lord, things he's done for us. And we get so used, some of us, we get so used to living so comfortable that some little thing go wrong. And we think we've been forsaken of God. And the Lord looks down at your healthy children. And he says, how in the world can you say I have forsaken you? You wasn't even supposed to have them. But God's a good God. We need to remember the great things God has done for us. We need to remember that this life is temporal. It's temporary. Everything we own and everything we have will fade and die and corrode and rust. There's nothing you own. There's not a car I drive or a house I live in that one day will not return to the dust from which every nail was taken from. It'll all go. If God tarries, there's nothing you and I that are using today. The garments on your back, the house you live in, the vehicle you drive, the things we enjoy, our entertainment, everything that we think are so important, a part of life, and we all do it, and we're all guilty of it. It's all going to fade away. And the only thing that's going to last is what we do for God. And we somehow need to get a hold of this all over again, that we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you are blessed. If you know who he is, you are blessed. If you're on the path, on the way to heaven, you are blessed. We 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 are blessed. Come on. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Don't let things that come into your life distract you. He said the same afflictions on the world's going to come against you. But the difference between them and us, we have him. We never lose our joy. We never lose our peace. We never lose our touch and our anointing and our relationship because the just live by faith. If you can get a hold of this, it will help stabilize your walk with God. And we'll quit being so tossed to and fro by every wind of adversity. The wind of poverty blows us this way. And for a little while, we're not doing well. And we're all distracted and we're all complaining and feel all forsaken. Then the wind of prosperity
blows us this way. But it's just as dangerous because we're just as distracted. And now we're just living in the luxuries of life and thinking everything is great and everything is fine. But whether we're blown this way or whether we're blown this way, either direction, neither of them did we have our focus on Him. Here's the point. If you live by faith, if you're this way, you're still in Him. 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 Why? Because I just live by faith. I don't live by sight. I don't live by what I have. I don't live by what I get. I don't live by what I lose. I don't live by what goes out from my grip, my ability to control. Those are the things I live by. I live by Him. He's the very breath of my life. He's the very source of my being. The just shall live by faith. Oh, let's worship Him for a moment. Worship Him for a moment. Habakkuk talks about, I'm going to close here shortly. Habakkuk talks about, complains for 4 verses. And God shows up and said, hey, you're complaining about all this mess in the world. Didn't I tell you it was going to happen? Hadn't I already prophesied to you that in the last days shall be the days of Noah? I want to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet, folks. No. Why don't you go back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, the word of the Lord says, two angels came in, Lot took them into his house, and the men of the city knew that there were two men that went into Lot's house. And the power of sin and the grip of immorality and lust that has so controlled them so powerfully, they were bored doing this over here and doing that over there and doing this over here. And that's the problem with sin. It's never satisfying. It's always looking for something greater, something more, something to entertain it, something to, you know, lift the level of enticement. And here they are, the beating on the door of Lot. Send out your men. Send them out. Let us do unto them what we please. Here's my daughters. We don't want your daughters. We want the men. And the Bible says the angels, you know, wave their hand or whatever they do, wink their eye, twitch their nose. I don't know what they did. And then all the men in the city were blind. But here it is. It didn't stop them. They were feeling the way on the house and the door, still trying to press their way in. Even after being made blind by the angelic host, the power of sin. I want to tell you something. You haven't seen nothing yet. This world is going to become so evil. You're going to let your children go outside the door. We tell ourselves, me and Elizabeth said, I don't know, we had two. Let's quit. This world's getting so horrible. We better not have any more. And now you want to tell your children, don't have children because, you don't know where you're going to raise them in. I got good news for you, that God will raise up an army who will stand strong in every generation. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. God's got a generation of men and women who will stand in that darkness. We need to stop being distracted by everything. We got to get focused on God. We got to get focused on the kingdom. We got to get focused on souls that are lost. We got to put our eyesight and our attention where it needs to be, because the just, they walk by faith. They live by faith. All right, let me bring it to a close. Verses 6 through 10, he talks about the power of the enemy. And then somehow he wakes up a little bit again. And verses 11 through 16, he brags about the power of God. That's just like us, isn't it? One day we're praising the devil. And the next day we're praising God. And the next day we're praising the devil. You say, well, I never praise the devil. Every time you open up your mouth and give him credit, you're praising him. Look what the devil's done to me. He's so powerful. I wish God was here. Yeah. The just live by faith, so it doesn't matter what's going on in their life. They're consistent and they're steady and they're walking in His presence and in His power. Peter tells us to be sober. Everybody say, be sober. And so he talks about the enemy for a little while. He talks about power of God. And then we get to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I love this. So here he is in chapter 1. He complains.
Then God shows up, gives him this promise. And then for another set of verses, he begins to talk about how the adversary has ravaged Israel, torn things apart, ripped them into shreds. And then we get into Habakkuk chapter 2. And look what he says. I will stand upon my watch and set before me upon the tower. Will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Look at the revelation coming to Habakkuk. He gets a promise in verse number 5. I believe it was verse number 5 of Habakkuk. Yes, 5. He says, I will do a work in your days. He gets a promise from the Lord. Then he talks about the power of the heathen or the devil. He talks about the power of God. And then something gets a hold of him. It gets down in his heart. And it's like Habakkuk says, I don't care how horrible the conditions become. I don't care how deplorable everything turns around me. He said, I will stand upon my watch. I have a calling. I have a duty inside of me. And no matter what happens around me, I will stand upon my watch. I will set myself upon the tower. That's what needs to get a hold of us here today. We need to say to ourselves, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter how rough it gets. I've got a calling in my life. I will stand upon my watch. I will stand upon my tower. And I will do the work of God. Lord answered me. He said, write it down as a vision. He said, the vision, verse 3, the vision is yet for a appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. It shall not lie. This is Habakkuk's way of saying God will justify everything he's ever promised. If he made a promise before it's over, it will come to pass. What happens in between of what he promised and when it comes to pass is trivial. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the just walk by faith. So whatever happens to me in between doesn't matter. The only thing that happens is I receive the promise and I walk until the promise comes to pass inside of my life. And while I'm walking, I will not turn to the right. I will not turn to the left. I will continue because the just walk by faith, live by faith. For the vision is yet. Here we go. Let's bring it to a close. And at the end it shall speak and lie not, though it tarry. Wait for it. We preached that a couple years ago. Wait for it. That was good. I had a lot of fun preaching that. That's the only part of the message I remember, but it was so cool. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then here it is. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He's not full of pride. He's not boastful. He's not arrogant. He's learned to humble himself, abase himself, because the just live by faith. And that's where Paul got that from. The fact that a man lived in a heathenistic world where everything was falling apart around him. He was devastated. Where are you, God? Why aren't you rescuing your people? Why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting all of this come to pass? What's going on? Why aren't you helping us? Why are we losing everything? Why can't you do something about this? Why are we in this situation, this position? Are you watching? Are you listening? Are you here? What's going on? This is where this man lived, and God came to him and he said, I'm going to do a work in your day that if it was told you, you would never
ever believe it. And Habakkuk goes on. He gets a hold of that promise and he stands up and he says, I will stand my watch. I will stand my tower. And he goes on. You know what he's saying when he gets to verse 4? He says, the just by live by faith. This is what he's saying. I haven't seen it come to pass. It hasn't happened, but I will believe. I will receive the promise and I will walk, and no matter what comes my way and no matter what I have to face, I will continue to walk. I will not lose the faith and I will make it to the end and I will receive it. God will bring it to pass. He will not lie. He is not a man that should lie, and I will live by faith until it happens. Let's stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord. If you believe that, if you feel that way, will you clap your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Give him praise. Give him some praise tonight. I close with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. Here it is. Here it is. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't throw your faith aside, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Peter, I'm not praying for you about your failures. I know you're going to fail. My prayer is that you don't draw back from me. My prayer is that you keep the faith. I pray that your faith fail not. The devil desire to sift you as wheat. But I pray through everything that you will face, everything that you will go through, every failure in your life, my prayer is that you keep the faith. Because my soul has no pleasure. And the one that draws back. But we are not of them who draw back, Paul the Apostle said, into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. And if we'll get a hold of that, there's nothing this world or the devil can throw at you that will shake you. You'll just keep walking. They'll be dumbfounded, but you'll just keep walking. You'll get all kinds of bad reports, but you'll just keep walking. Because you're not listening to any of that. You're not concerned about where the world's going. You're walking by faith in Christ. And along the way, you reach your hand out, and everybody that God sends your way, you get a hold of and you pull in and you teach them how to walk by faith with you down this path. We have to remember that our goal is not to achieve anything on this earth. Our goal is to make heaven. And Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you keep the faith, if you keep the faith, you'll make it. It'll bring you through anything and everything. Just keep the faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. These last few services, you have blessed us. You have touched us. You have revealed things to us. The devil has tried to condemn us. He has tried to put fear in our hearts and in our lives. He has tried to cause us to focus on the things that are going on in the world and
and the evil that's in it. But oh, Father, we have learned that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Lord, we do not look at things that are, but we know that you are the one who can bring to pass whatever you so will. Father, we just pray tonight, help us to walk by faith. Help us to be that one, God, in our family that will keep the path, that one day our family will follow us. Help us to be the one that on our job that will keep the path, that one day some of those will follow us. Help us to be the one in our neighborhood that keeps the path, keeps the faith, keeps the walk, that one day some of them might follow us. God, help us, Lord, to understand that we will go through things that even the world goes through, but we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. The just walk by faith. We live by faith. We abide in faith. And now abideth faith. We thank you for it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Will you give a hand clap of faith to the Lord? Will you do that? Come on. Go beyond your situation. Clap beyond it. Come on. Come on. Clap beyond the pain in your body. Clap beyond the finances in your bank account. Come on. You can do it. The just shall live by faith. Come on. Give that clap of faith. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! Woo! Somebody shout, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to tell you what you do. The next time something happens, you just say, the just shall live by faith. When something goes the opposite that you were expecting, you just say, the just shall live by faith. When something turns in the wrong way for you, you just say, the just shall live by faith. I'm not going to pay attention to all this stuff. I'm going to walk in God. He's going to take care of me, and I got a work to do for him while he does it. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Uplift one another. Say good things. Say good things to one another. Pray for one another. We need some help tearing down the platform, if you will. We need some help tearing down the platform, if you will.